B-Pod Studios.
4 o'clock hour, Mike Bisnelli Show. Three questions at stake for the people today. Number one, DeSean Jackson. You don't like the trade, why don't you like it? I want to hear the reasons why, because it could be some good ones. Number two, if it's Brett Brown or someone else, unknown, by the end of the year, who you choosing? You back at Brett? Keep in mind, they might not get past the second round. If they don't get past the second round, are you backing Brett? Do they? If they get to the finals, you backing Brett? Where is the line of demarcation for Brett Brown? Will you choose Brett or someone unknown? And finally, the broad question. Are the teams in this city doing the best they can for you? Because that's all I've asked as a sports talk host. That's all the responsibility is. Do the best, do right by the fan base, and let the chips fall where they may, as they say in hockey. Among other things that they say in hockey. You got a lot of TP. So you're leading the TP hate wagon.
There's no hate. I have the guy
JB goes, Ronald Isley could be argued as being better than Teddy.
No, you can't make the argument. Ronald Isley's all-timer. Ronald Isley? See, it's not an insult to say a guy's top five all-time.
But nobody had that kind of a voice. Like, that was as unique a voice as you could possibly have.
So I did my
nobody
voice.
Nobody had that.
I have a voice top five here based solely on voice. Yeah. Stevie still won. David Ruffin, 2. Levi Stubbs, 3. Sam Cooke, 4. And Teddy.
They were
top five all time.
All great voices, but Teddy had the melodic bravado brassiness that nobody else had.
Right, but range plays a role. If you listen to I Believe in You and Me.
I know Ruffin had range. I get it.
And Levi Stubbs goes from the baritone all the way to the falsetto, in one package.
He didn't have, you got what I want. He didn't have that.
Yeah, he didn't have that. Teddy had more. Now, if you do swag, he's number one. When he does turn off the lights, he basically convinced the woman to leave the club and go home with him. He had candles already lit. He was so sure he was going to get her, he wasn't even worried about burning down the house.
Very interesting circumstances on that night where he got into the car crash.
Yeah, what was going on?
Very interesting.
It's almost like we can't talk about it.
He was with somebody, and he picked up somebody else at a club. I think it was at the Warwick.
Yeah.
And took his girlfriend home first with intentions to take the other one home, who happened to be a transgender. And he didn't know it.
Yeah, and. And one thing we can't address because it involves a legend. Somehow. Yeah,
yes.
That's involved. That's just a...
Yeah, it was a very odd little situation there.
Imagine that.
And to the point where, like he thought that, like, somebody cut his brake line or something. Like, there was sabotage involved in his Rolls Royce.
This is what I'm saying.
But that's what's great about a good documentary. It brings out all these little, like, behind-the-scenes things.
Now, my father told me that the way Teddy was rolling in that day with so many women, that a hateful boyfriend, or ex-boyfriend, or boyfriend, because Teddy apparently was being Teddy, might have done something like that.
To the car?
Yeah, because he was so notorious.
Right. It gets in a very shady situation.
Yeah, to where maybe someone would do that to him out of revenge because of his exploits.
It was the Green Rolls. And because he used to ride around town, the racial element in Philadelphia was terrible at the time. He used to ride around that Green Rolls and get pulled over all the time. Mm. Teddy Pendergrass.
That's terrible.
A star. You would think he'd be proud of a star for this
local
town.
That's what I'm saying, a local star.
Let's go to Manny in Jersey. Manny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Manny.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Manny? How you doing, bud?
Good, man. I love this Teddy Pendergrass topic. I was watching the...
Have you seen the documentary yet?
What? I saw it twice already. I like the way the manager goes, I think that's why he had the accident. He might have reached in between the legs. And
Yeah, that's what he said. The manager said that. And then he goes, I found out I was wrong.
Yeah, I started cracking up. That was crazy, man. But another one, Mike, you keep talking about the college scandals. Do you know what the name of the operation is?
The name of the operation for what? The tuition payments?
Yeah, they got up. You know, FBI,
what's it called?
Operation Varsity Blues. That ain't crazy, man.
That story is crazy, man. Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman can't get their kids into school unless they pay half a million. What dopes?
Now, I don't feel bad. My kid can't get into college. That's like, well, even they can't get
into
college.
Get up a half a mil, they can get in.
Add me up, man. Right. You know, and the last thing, Mike, I wanted to say was, did you say Wayne Groh is the receivers coach now?
No. Mike Groh is the offensive coordinator. The new receivers coach worked with Groh in Chicago.
No, but I thought you were talking about Wayne Groh from, you know,
Wayne Groh from Heat? No, not Wayne Groh.
With the mullet.
Yeah, Wayne Groh. Wayne Groh from Heat.
Yeah, he had the mullet, but he was the guy, but Wayne Groh.
Yeah, Wayne Groh got it right in the forehead in the end.
Yeah, they got him.
He had to go, it turns out that the daughter.
Lori Loughlin's daughter is kind of like a poser.
Yeah.
So she's like a lot of Instagram pictures.
Right. Now, she, apparently on her YouTube page, she had to apologize today. On her YouTube page was very popular. She admitted months ago that she only goes to college for the parties. And now, when your mom gets pinched, it kind of puts you in a tough spot with that. So she's had to apologize. So her mom got pinched for her getting into school, and she doesn't even care at all about the sacrifice that her mom made to get her in school because she doesn't care about school.
Yeah, she's posing in all kinds of risque outfits, this girl.
Yeah.
This girl must be a handful.
That's what she's about. So she doesn't have to go to college. Why she have to go to college?
You raise her in a Hollywood environment. What do you expect?
What you mean?
You know? What do you expect? Yeah, her mom's a beautiful actress. Like, what do you think the girl's going to turn out to be?
And dad was big clothing designer.
There you go.
Spent a lot of money in the house.
A lot of money and no, you know, like, they can get, the kid figures he can get by with anything. You know, mom and dad will take care of me. We're rich Hollywood family. Aunt Becky, man.
I mean, and apparently I'm still looking. She has yet to turn herself in. I don't know what she waiting on to turn herself in. She'd be in and out right away. Huffman's already home. Turn yourself in, Lori, if you're listening. Maybe she's in the area.
Catherine Bigelow is currently planning a movie. Just search for Lori Loughlin.
Turn yourself in.
John in Long Island. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, guys. You know, when I look at the Rams obviously being in the Super Bowl, and you know, you look at Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears organization, those teams are doing whatever they can to take the next step. So obviously, as Eagle fans, we're biased, and we talk about we want the Eagles to get to the Super Bowl, but those teams had better records last year and are going to try to take that next step. So I'm supposed to believe that pretty much the same team, except for the signing that they made yesterday, that went 5-6 with Wentz this year, who brings in a locker room guy like DeSean Jackson, who's had major issues and has been toxic everywhere he's gone. I'm supposed to believe that this Eagle team with DeSean Jackson, who's never sniffed a Super Bowl, is now going to get back to a Super Bowl over the Rams and the Bears and the Saints, all these teams.
They did beat the Bears.
Oh, they did.
Right?
Without
I don't
DeSean
know if
Jackson
you took inventory of that, right?
But DeSean Jackson was not in the locker room.
You're saying that DeSean Jackson is going to be such a disruptor that he's going to disrupt. One guy is going to disrupt a good team.
We've seen it with many teams, with the Steelers this year, where one or two guys disrupted that whole Steelers very talented team. We saw it with the Jaguars that were.
But it was a totally different circumstance. You're talking about two stars that thought they were the team. He's coming in now as a 32-year-old guy who plays a role.
Yeah, but
he's not Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell.
He got Dirk Cotter fired. That same 32-year-old guy slept through meetings, came late to meetings, didn't want to have coach.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But what's the purpose? My point is they won a Super Bowl without him. He's not needed. They won without him.
But they didn't win last year, and then one of the reasons why is they didn't have a balance.
But with him, they never even sniffed a Super Bowl. So my point is, without him, they won a Super Bowl. They made the
playoffs. Forget about back then. The Eagles are a good fan.
They had the dream team in 2011 and 2012.
John, let me talk for a second. They take breath. All right, now the Eagles are a really good organization right now, right? They went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Okay? So they're bringing him back as a role player in a position they did not have. They did not have a guy who was a deep threat. A deep threat will make a team...
Super Bowl without him. Who's Tom Brady's deep threat? He has... Gronkowski.
Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time.
But that's my point. It's about chemistry. It's about having the right mix. It's not about having the...
That's not true!
Right. Deshaun Jackson has never been to a championship game, let alone win a Super Bowl. The Eagles...
A lot of guys haven't been to a championship. The best you can do is improve your team. He improves their team. Now, again, there's a way to deal with... First of all, he can't possibly be the diva he was when he was younger. He's 32 years old. I think he knows the landscape and what this team's about right now. Second of all, does he improve your team? He does. He provides a position that you really did not have last year. So, I guess you can look at it like he's going to ruin the team. I mean, to me, that's easily manageable. Now, it wasn't manageable with T.O. for one reason, because the Eagles did not manage T.O. They could have very easily managed him. They chose to butt heads with him. Heads with a dude. And the show's not nearly as crazy as T.O. Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Ed?
T.O. was the MVP of that Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they mismanaged the whole thing. They butted heads with him.
That guy sounds like a Giants fan. Never got over D-Jack torching there at
There's an easy way to manage Deshaun Jackson. You get him the ball early. You go, yeah, I got you. And you patronize him.
He runs like a deer. I mean,
still, he does.
He'll be fine, still. And if he needs to get out of bounds, he'll get out of bounds. And the Teddy conversation went from Teddy, which is beautiful. That is a good documentary. A lot of Philly in
it's
there.
It's fantastic. Dude. It really is. The show in Philly in the old days and
the Chitlin
Circuit. And his manager goes from Alice Cooper to Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah. Alice Cooper. Yeah. Ty should cue up some Love TKO. That's another good one. But respecting Ty's music, vast music knowledge, he's got Al Green up there high, and I tend to agree with that. But Teddy, that's the sound of Philly right there, Mike.
Well, it's not only the sound of Philly. It's a unique sound that I don't hear. I listen to some great singers, great R&B singers over the years, but this was a unique brassiness undertone to this dude.
And I know that you're totally tired of hearing, take the top off the defense, but we'll just stick with Teddy and say that those women in the audience are pretty much taking their tops off.
Well, of course they were. Yeah,
It was good. And I really thought it represented Philadelphia good. I didn't expect to see it and see that much Philadelphia. Was it the Rizzo days?
Yeah, probably was.
It was good.
Yeah.
And listen, Brett Brown, how about all the love that you were getting there in the last hour for Brett Brown? I was kind of digging that.
Actually, only one call was really loving Brett Brown. But I'm going to ask you the same question. If they lose in the second round, are you going Brett or are you going unknown?
I'm all in. I'm a Brett backer.
Really? All right. They lose in the second round. You're still a Brett backer.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I'd be ultra disappointed if they lost in the second round. What do you got?
What's this?
Turn off the lights. That's what the guy asked for.
Turn off the lights. Oh, okay.
Turn off the lights.
There you go.
Light a candle.
Light a candle.
Swag.
He actually sings this song in the documentary live. They have a lot of live footage of him doing shows.
Yeah.
Like he started out with dancers. He had the Teddy Bear Band, right? And he had dancers. Then he had accompanying three female singers.
Does it show footage from the female-only concert?
Yes.
It
does. That was an emphasis, one of the emphases of it, because they went on what was called back then the Chitlin Circuit with black promoters who would cheat them out of their money. So his manager said, "Let's take a chance, and we're gonna go up against like the Junior Back Black Mafia was involved in that in that whole thing. And they'll take a chance, and we'll go with white promoters, and then we'll see if we can survive the heat." That's going to come from that.
And he survived.
So they went from that to the white promoters, then the ladies-only concerts.
Yeah, I heard about
it. Which, made him larger than life.
Yeah, and I heard some wild stuff used to happen at those ladies-only concerts with Teddy.
Well, of course. He's, you know, a good-looking dude with a voice, you know. All sweaty up there wearing a jumpsuit, you know.
See if I could sing.
There you go.
Forget about it. Whole different life. Whole different life. Wouldn't be sitting here. Be around the world. Oh, well.
Tyrone Pendergrass.
Just be out there.
Vicente and Lansdowne. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vicente. What's my God? Buenas tardes to you, Vicente.
I completely 100% agree with your musical tenderness of Teddy Pendergrass.
You like Teddy, huh? See, man, when you first came to America, that's what you were listening to, weren't you?
Even before I came to America, I was listening to the rhythms and blues from Motown and the mother, father, sister, and brother from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know I was going to end up living in Philly.
There you go. What was Gamble and Huff? The Sigma Sound Studios? Is that what they were? Their studio was called? Gamble and Huff wrote most of his songs.
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember that Teddy Pendergrass also asked Whitney Houston to sing with him a song.
Oh, is that right? When he was in a wheelchair?
Right.
Yeah.
And listen to this. I hold you, I touch you, I make you my woman. I'll give you my love with sweet surrender. Tonight our hearts will be as one. And I will hold you, I'll touch you, I'll make you my woman.
Vicente, suave.
Hey. Correcto, mundo. I love
him. Oh, you're nuts, man.
Years when he died, man.
Uh-huh.
He died in Bryn Mawr in 2010, January.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I am very happy because in the same year, you know, no, actually, in April 2nd, 2014, the Eagles released the Sean Jackson to the Washington Redskins, mm-hmm. who picked it up pretty fast.
Yeah.
And it was because based on the character issues that he was having attitude problems and mm-hmm. some link to gang members and stuff. That was completely BS, fabricated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, and, that story had no legs to it at all.
Right.
It was a shame. It was a shame that... That it came out that way.
Sean Jackson.
Well, listen, he hasn't been like an altar boy. You know what I'm saying? Are you still there, Vicente? What happened? We lose him? Oh, we lost Vicente. All right, let's go. AJ in West Philly. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
What up, Big Mike?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. Hey, look, first off, when the music took, I got to throw Michael Jackson in there, man. I mean, I grew up on Al Green, but Mike Jack, he had that type of voice. Couldn't nobody touch that.
Listen, best entertainer of all time, probably, right? But as far as like comparing voices, you can't compare his voice to Teddy's.
The vocal of Mike is crazy. But let me get into it, Mike, real quick. I remember last season I called you and told you the Sixers going to the playoffs when they won 28 games. People mm-hmm. said I was crazy. This season I called you and said we was going to win 60 games, and people said mm-hmm. I was crazy.
Yeah.
But it seemed like with everybody being so hard on the coach, the expectation should have been 60 games. Don't it seem like we expected to win and have a better record than last year, which was 53 wins, so 60 was the next logical number. And it seemed like people want to have it both ways. You want to say when a person like me is going to make a prediction and be hard on a coach, oh no, that's not realistic. But then during the season, now your expectation is, oh, he better win 60 or better do better than last year. I don't get it, Mike. Somebody must be on my side.
Listen,
I know what I'm talking about.
Here's what we knew, AJ. They weren't the same team as they were last year when they went 20-3 and went to playoffs because they had brought those two guys in and those two guys let them down defensively. So they were actually came in this year bench weaker than what they were last year. We all saw that, right?
I saw, but I knew he was going to make changes.
Yeah, so they made the changes. They're not going to win 60 games, but they made enough changes to say in your heart that they should win two rounds of the playoffs. No?
Yeah, I think we should win two rounds of the playoffs. I think it's 15 games left. The boy went on a 16-game winning streak last year. If this was a football team, they would say the Sixers last year went into the season, end of the season strong. They don't give Brett Brown no credit for winning 16 games last year. And I'm going to say this, even if we lose, during the playoffs when we sign our players and we have a whole roster from the beginning of the season to the end, judge Brett Brown off of that next season and let that be the benchmark. I want to ask you this. Well, he took the job and he took it with a crap team knowing he was only with 10 wins. He was going to be held accountable for taking that crappy job. We had to, he gave us a deal taking the job because we couldn't get a coach to come to Philadelphia at that time. And he don't get no credit for that. He don't get
I give him tons of credit. I really do. And I like him. And I'm not as hard on him as a lot of fans are from game to game to game, because these fans in this town are only willing to criticize him when he loses, but not give him any credit when they win a game. And there have been games when he should have gotten credit for winning games. But that is all thrown out the window as soon as they go into the playoffs, because the playoffs have to yield a better crop than last year's crop. Because last year's crop was a disappointing loss to the Boston Celtics where he was outcoached. Now he's got a better roster. He's got a starting five that's on the cover of Sports Illustrated because of their acumen. I expect a second round win. And then I may expect an Eastern Finals win as well. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It's the Mike Misnelli Show on 97.5. The Fanatic NBC.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Pope, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Andrew Salchunas rocking the powder blue throwback with Harper on the back.
Very stylish. Very stylish. The question today are all
It's historically inaccurate.
It's not. They're going to wear, it's their alternates this year, so it'll soon be historically correct.
Okay.
Once it happens. Are all four major Philadelphia sports teams doing things the right way? 86% say yes, 14% say no.
I got to find out who number three was back then when they wore that uniform. That sounded like a first base coach. Got to be a first base coach, like Billy DeMars or something. All right, thank you for the update, Andrew.
Hey, you're welcome.
By the way, we have a pair of tickets to give away for now till the rest of the show. Two tickets, Sixers versus two pair. Brooklyn Nets, Sixers, March 28th. You see the game. And you also get a spot in the knockout tournament. That's right. We'll have that on the court following the game. Always a highlight. You can also register a spot in the competition on our contest page at 975thefanatic.com. But if you bring something from here till the rest of the show, we're going to qualify you and announce you at the end of the show that you did get the spot in our knockout tournament plus the two tickets. Now, you can win it. If you don't want to play in the knockout tournament, you can defer to somebody else, give the tickets to somebody who you think would want to play in the knockout tournament. Are you playing in the knockout tournament, Tyron?
I can't.
Oh, that's right. You're on TV.
You're on Sixers Outsiders.
Now,
what I'm trying to do, but I haven't told them yet, is to let Crystal and I do the show that one time from courtside so that we could be down there for knockout. Yeah, and I could jump in and do that kind of thing.
That'd be good live TV.
I think so, but I haven't even mentioned it to them yet about it. But I know Andrew's going to be in it. Andrew does well at knockout.
He does.
Yeah, watch out.
The bro does it. Now, what the bro specializes in is the layup afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, better shooter, I feel like, top to bottom than the bro.
The bro tries too hard.
Yeah, he goes really hard. He's sweating. Egan sneakily lasts a long time in knockout. You wouldn't think. The staff does pretty well.
You would think. Those guys like Egan and Andrew used to play with those balloon balls that they play with. Those red, white, and blue balls that bounce like all over the place.
I thought we used the regulation ball.
Yeah, yeah, no, we used the regulation
ball. We used the regulation ball.
They used no regulation
ball. Yes, we do. They used the game balls.
And they changed it up. Because they never used to.
Yeah, they used the game balls.
They used those bouncy balls.
Yeah, you
used to. Those things in the playground.
Last year's winner was playing on one leg, but he was so pure that he made all his jump shots, so he never had to worry about the layup because he couldn't move. But his jumper was so pure that
he just kept
making them.
Yep. John in Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Old dog, what it do? Old dog. What's up, Big Ty? Listen. My aunt was a swinger back in the day, old dog. And rumor had it was Dr. J's wife that was in the car with TP.
Yeah, that was always
exactly. Now, listen, the sisters, remember, we lost to the Lakers in 80. So in order for him to stay focused and, you know, trouble him, let them know his wife was out there swinging, they said it was a transvestite in the car with him. That was Dr. J's wife.
Well, No. Hold on a second. First of all, that was not reported that it was turquoise.
It's just been a rumor.
The transgender was verified. That came out in news reports. All right?
They had to cover that up, old dog. That's why they said it.
You might be right. That's been a rumor. I don't know if it's true. It's been a rumor.
Old dog, Teddy ain't swing that way. You know that. Listen, Beth Brown. He's a good coach, but he can't coach the guys we have right now. So in order for us to get to that next level in that hump, like that Mark Jackson situation, sometimes you got to cut ties and bring someone in with new blood that's going to get under these guys and make these guys play the way they should be playing, man. We got a championship at stake, old dog. The window is not open that long.
I agree with you. I agree with you, man. That's why I'm requiring they get to the Eastern Finals. And then I'd refigure everything from that point on, depending on how they're playing. If they're playing good and they come out of the second round, I got expectations for that Eastern Final.
NBA Finals, man. Finals. You have to get to the Finals. This core we have, they've been together longer than Milwaukee.
If they get to seven games in Milwaukee and they lose a game seven in Milwaukee, I am not mad at them. They lose in five, I'm slightly mad at him. And I may have to flip and go with unknown. Patrick in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Patrick.
Hey, Mikey, how you doing?
What's going on, Patrick?
Oh, not a whole lot, brother. Just worried about these Flyers a little bit, a little banged up here and there.
They're playing well.
Yeah, they're playing well right now.
It was a big win they had.
Oh, yeah, beautiful win. I just want to see the young boy back in the net.
He's coming. He's going to play that game, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
All right, they're 3 points out. Yeah, they got a viable shot.
Yeah, about that voice thing earlier, man.
Uh-huh.
Luther Vandross, hands down.
Luther over Teddy Pendergrass?
Oh, hands down.
Yeah, Tyrone, you went Luther too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's close.
Mm-hmm. Luther had a sweet sound, no question. But he didn't have that brassy undertone, you know?
Oh, Luther had that.
Teddy's the only guy that had that brassy undertone.
Yeah, Mikey.
All right, Pat. You got it, buddy. Patrick is pulling the words out of Patrick. Tough. Yeah. It was a tough pull.
That's the only Luther we have in the system.
Here, Luther?
Yeah, that's the only Luther we have in the system. It's one shining moment. I didn't expect that. I was hoping there'd be more
one
Luther.
Shiny moment.
Yeah, but at the end of the tournament.
Did you know that Teddy sang at Live Aid with Astrid and Simpson?
No.
In his wheelchair?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's in a documentary.
I did not know.
What was the song they sang?
Not Solid, did they?
No. It was I'll get it. I'll remember it.
I think Booney will know. He loves the documentary.
Yeah. Reach Out and Touch?
Reach Out and Touch. That's what it was.
Oh.
Yeah, Reach Out and Touch. He did. They wheeled him out. Ashford Simpson wheeled him out at Live Aid. Let's go Spanky and Cobbs Creek. Spanky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Spanky?
Mike, let me tell you something. Teddy Pendergrass was my idol. The greatest pickup line of all time that I've ever heard was, "Come on and go with me." You can't. It's like he was just sitting in the bar just talking to this chick. It's beautiful how, if you listen to the words, it's beautiful. I'm ready to sue the state for plagiarism because it sounds like stuff I would have said. It's beautiful, Mike. You got to listen to those words and you say, damn, he's just sitting in the bar just, oh, it's beautiful, man. You got to listen to it. But I want to talk about Brett Brown.
Yes.
I don't want him fired, Mike. But for some strange reason, I just don't think he's just the man that's just going to get us over the hump. I don't like his substitutions. And I just think that he does things harder on his players. Like, they be undisciplined at too many times. Like, Ben with the errant passes. And I'm afraid that that's going to kill us in the playoffs.
I agree to an extent. He's had a hands-off approach to Ben Simmons for a really long time. And I understand what he's thinking, and that he doesn't want to kill the kid's spirit. And you got to let it, a wild steed, figure it out along the way. But I agree that he makes really silly mistakes that need to be disciplined by the head coach. There's got to be, he keeps doing the same thing over and over again. Where he goes too fast, and then he gets in the air, and he winds up with a bailout pass to the wrong guy.
Right, but not only that, though, Mike, if he's a disciple of Pop, you ain't never see, but Pop players play under, they like a machine. The Sixers team, to me, just don't seem like they have an identity besides Joel. And I just don't know what they're trying to do sometimes. Sometimes it just seems like a lot of one-on-one stuff, because they have individual talent, but they don't move like a machine like some of these
other teams. Well, you got to understand, I hear what you're saying, but Tony Parker was like the perfect point guard who orchestrated things. Simmons isn't that, so you got to work with what you have. You got to work around his talent and the excess that he gives you, because he gives you something substantial. But he's not going to give you Tony Parker. That's not what he's not going to give you.
But and you know what too, Mike? I just don't know if they can live with letting some of these other players drop 40 and 50 on them. I'm afraid of that part as far as their defense and intensity.
Mm. All right. Well, listen, we'll cross the bridge when we get to it, and the bridge is the second round of the playoffs. So I'm in a holding pattern until then. I know they're going to get the third seed. I know they're going to beat whoever they play in the first round, because they're that much more talented. And the second round is the test. And we'll see if he's got something special for Toronto. All right, 610-622-0975. That's how you get in. Mike Mussinelli Show, radio, TV, back at the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
446. Mike Mussinelli Show. 97.5. The Fanatic. You look like smooth sounds. R&B right here on 97.5. The Fanatic.
There you go. Little Teddy P.
There have been a couple of people have suggested who wore three. Danny Ozark wore three, the manager. But then somebody also said Billy DeMars wore three. And, there is even another name of a guy. I think it was Danny Ozark. I think it was the manager. You're wearing the manager's number, man. Lee Ilya was the other suggestion. War 3. I think it's Danny Ozark's number.
Oh, big Ozark fan.
Are you?
Yeah, that's why I'm wearing the number 3.
That's why we watch the show Ozark?
Yeah, the only one that was available was Harper. They didn't have any Ozark jerseys available, you know?
Yeah, I got you. Let's go back to the phone. Steele in Ocean City. What's up, Steele?
Mike Miss.
Steele.
Listen, R&B, no arguments. Barry White.
Nah, didn't have the range. Didn't have the range of Teddy. Did not have the range of Teddy.
No.
He was a one-trick pony, Barry White.
Oh, was he? He's like a Deshaun Jackson, one trick.
One trick he had. Deep bravado.
Yeah, obviously, you're a younger man. Barry White... If you put that
on, man, Tyrone, straighten him out. Teddy or Barry White?
It's Teddy.
Teddy.
Every time.
Come on, man. Come on, Steele.
No. If you put Barry White in the bedroom.
We're not putting him in the bedroom. We're judging the voice. Teddy had the better voice. Stop.
All right. You want me to stop?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, just an opinion. Let's talk sports.
All right, go ahead. Let's talk sports.
Did you say you can't blame Chip Kelly for getting rid of Deshaun?
No, I can't blame anybody who wants to put in their own little system.
If they don't think
he fits, then you got to go.
So you think Kelly was a bonehead?
Well, after the fact, I thought he was a bonehead. But when a guy first takes over, you got to allow for what he wants to do.
All right. All right. He was, as your classic phrase, an ass face.
Well, yeah, he was. We found that out. Well, what I'm saying is a coach is entitled. Like when a coach comes in, he fires everybody, brings in his own staff, right? Well, it's the same with players. He wants to get players that fit what he likes to do and are going to take instruction like the way he gives it. He obviously didn't feel that way about DeSean Jackson.
All right, let's think this. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go with this. Do we sign Le'Veon Bell?
No, they're not going to sign Le'Veon Bell.
Why not?
Well, he's going to cost too much money, first of all, and that's not what their style is to have a feature back.
They can't reconfigure the cap to get that cat in there.
Yeah, it's going
to
cost them a little too much. It's going to cost, what, $13 million, Le'Veon Bell?
In a perfect world, would you like him here?
Yeah, I would like Le'Veon Bell. Sure, yeah. Who wouldn't want Le'Veon Bell?
Right.
I like him, but I understand what the restrictions are. Stanley in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stanley.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, Stan? How you guys doing? Good, man. How you doing?
I was calling. Well, first of all, I was speaking on the singer thing you're talking about.
Yeah, Stanley, are you on speakerphone?
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we get a.
I got you.
Yeah, we got a bad connect.
Yeah,
we got
now better.
All right, that's better.
Yeah, what I was saying is I haven't heard anybody say anything about Al Green.
No, we talked about Al Green.
They did?
Yeah, oh, we talked. Tyrone's got Al Green ahead of Teddy. I don't.
I think I agree. Maybe better. But other thing I want to speak on was first, I heard someone say something about DeSean Jackson being a problem. I don't think so. Man, I think there was a lot of untrue things that Chip Kelly put out to basically so no one would blame them for letting them go.
Mm-hmm.
Other thing is I'm gonna say is about the middle linebacker position. What are we planning on going from here? I mean. Do you think
Grugier
Hill is the answer, or
no? They're scuffling at linebacker. I don't know what their plan is, to be honest with you. But you know, I don't know that they could pay. Hicks got a lot of money, so I don't know if they could have paid him. Yeah, he got too much money for him. So that's probably the weak part right now. So they're going to have to probably address that in the draft. There's probably another guy that they can sign who's a lesser talent. But they've got Bradham, they've got Grugier Hill. So one more linebacker they definitely need.
Okay. Also, has anyone ever considered the medical staff and the for the Eagles, man? It seems like we have way too many injuries, man, that are happening on this team. Is that anything that anyone ever considered?
No. Medical staff? No. Everybody gets injured in the NFL.
I understand everyone gets hurt, but we got a lot of key injuries. And to see New England year after year.
They have key injuries, too, man. They were missing their receivers for a long time this year. It's football. You get injured. You know, once the medical staff can't put you back together, if you're hurt, you're hurt. You're out. You got to let it heal up. Bud in West Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bud.
Good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Bud?
All right. Hey, Mike. I hear you guys talking about singers and ballad singers, right?
Yeah.
And, my personal favorite is Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, Smokey was like upper octave type of sound, you know? Smokey Robinson had a beautiful voice, don't get me wrong, but it was different than Teddy's. Teddy's voice had like the machismo, melodic, bravado, brass. You know, he had more of everything than like the guys who went up an octave and went falsetto and all that stuff. Right. Like Al Green was big falsetto guy.
Okay, but does anybody ever consider Smokey's lyrics? You gotta listen to his songs, man. His lyrics is off the chain.
But he wasn't writing that. Other people were writing his stuff. So Smokey writing stuff?
Yeah, he wrote most of his stuff.
But we're just measuring voices right now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Jordan Hicks, the previous caller, stole my thunder, but what are we going to do now? Is that guy C.J. Mosley from the Ravens, he still out there?
No, he signed today for big money.
He signed today?
Yes, wow. Signed for big money.
So what are we going to do now at linebacker?
That's a good question. I don't know what their plans are, linebacker. That's probably the next question is going to be asked in the front office, what they're going to do here.
Mm-hmm. You think drafting one would be a good idea?
Yes. Yeah, they're probably going to have to draft one.
Yeah. Okay, Mike.
All right, man.
Have a good afternoon.
Okay, you got Anthony Gargano is hot now that you put Al Green over Teddy.
Yes, I see. It's tough. You know, I have the guy top five dead or alive. Boney's mad at me for not having Otis Redding on the list. It's when I go top five, somebody's going to get left out.
Otis Redding.
It's an all-timer. It's tough.
But he's not Teddy.
I don't know.
Otis Redding is not Teddy. Now, you can make a case Luther Vandross. You can make a case maybe Al Green. But come on. You can't make a case of Otis Redding over Teddy Pendergrass. I can't even make the case of Al Green over him.
This is tough. It's tough when you do top five, dead or alive. That's tough.
I tell you what, watch the documentary and then you tell me.
All right, I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Watch the documentary.
So Thursday.
Call it up on demand.
Yeah, I'll watch it tomorrow.
All right. We're going into the 5 o'clock hour. It is
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.